And when we were at 19th and Ruth Morton here, we both had a set of missionaries that we supported. And since 2015, the truth is we have not yet met all of the missionaries that we are supporting. So today is the first time for myself and many others that we're getting a chance to meet Pierre and Hannah, the Jutras, and so we're looking forward to hearing what they have to say this morning. But again, I just want to remind everybody of we have a partnership with missionaries, and we have an acronym that really spells out what our relationship with our missionaries are, and we use the acronym SPEAK. S is that we support our missionaries financially. P is we pray for our missionaries. E is we encourage them. A, we assist them. And K is we keep in touch. And I want to especially thank our missions committee led by Doug Graham, who Doug and Anna Marie are in Europe right now, but I just want to thank them for just really making sure that all of these things happen. And when the individuals are here, when our missionaries are here, we give them an opportunity to speak. And that's what's going to happen this morning. So I'm going to ask Pierre, wherever he may be, Pierre, and if he'll come up and...
Witam Was w imieniu Jezusa Chrystusa z naszego zboru z Warszawy. I welcome you in the name of the Lord Jesus and greetings from our church in Warsaw. We have a pastor that we work with in Warsaw, and he told me to greet all of you, all the churches we're going to visit in Canada from our church in Warsaw. So may the Lord bless you and greetings from them. Today, as Pastor Vic just said, we haven't been back to Canada for 8 years, and because of that, haven't visited many of the churches that are actually praying and supporting us, and you're one of them. So very thankful for Pastor Vic and the missions committee who felt that they could invite us and be part of the service today. So we thank you for that. So today we would like, Doug and Maria told us to... in a sense to do, would be more of a telling you how we came to Christ, how did Jesus change our lives, and why did we go to Poland, and a bit of a few pictures of what we've been doing in the last 14 years. So we're going to do that. It's going to be a bit different, and a few texts that have motivated us actually to go to Poland and bring the gospel to the Polish nation. So today we're just going to... let my wife, Hannah, she's from Warsaw, born in Warsaw, and she will share with you how she came to Christ in Poland, and how, after that, I will share with you how I came to Christ in Montreal, Quebec. I was born where exactly your pastor was born, so nous parlons français. And I've met, I would like just to mention that a good friend from Northwest Baptist Seminary, Rob Peacock, with his wife Amy, are right there. We had so much fun together at Northwest Baptist Seminary and working for conferencing together, washing the sinks and toilets and serving Chinese churches and Canadian other churches coming to Northwest Langley. So it's a pleasure, actually, to see you. Thank you for coming.
Yes, we are very pleased to be with you. And I have to say, probably one thing about me and about me and Amy is common, that we got very good husbands. They learned how to wash the washrooms and how to...
every day.
So, yeah, good guys are there at the seminary. And I actually met my husband at the seminary when later we washed the washrooms together as well. But I was born, as Pierre said, in Poland, in Warsaw. And I got to know the Lord when I was 12 years old, because I realized that I was a sinner, just like the lady said it in the video, that at some point in our lives we have to realize that we cannot make it to heaven without Christ. And that's what happened to me. I was raised in a good Christian family because my parents and grandparents were get to know Christ through the Bible that somebody gave to my grandma. They read the Bible and they knew the truth. And I was born in such a family, loving Jesus, loving God, I love to sing songs for God, but I always felt that if I will die, I'm not sure if I would be with God, if I will make his standards. And of course, I couldn't, because I was a sinner. So when I went for a camp one day, it was a kids camp or maybe kids youth camp, at that place, I really heard in my heart that Jesus died for my sins and that I can be free from the burden that is in me. So I gave my life to Jesus. I asked him to forgive my sins, and I really felt that he did it, and he gave me freedom, and he gave me desire at that moment that I want to serve him. I want to do something for him. He did so much for me. I want to give my life to him. So I was young. I was just 12. I had to grow in my faith, in my church. I tried to help as much as I could. I was taking care of little kids in a church. And then when I was 14, I decided that it's time to tell all my friends and everybody around that I am a Christian. So I was baptized at that time and still had this strong desire to serve God. So one day when I finished my high school, I really wanted to go to Bible school. I wanted to study the Bible, to learn more about God. But in Poland, right after in the communistic times, there were no schools for the girls. So I couldn't attend Bible school. I couldn't become a student. There were only young men who were in a school. But because I was graduating from university with kind of like a music conducting degree, so the director of Bible school gave me an option. He said, why don't you make a choir of our young men and become their choir director, and then you can be part of the school. And that happened. For a year I was doing that in a Bible school, and I was very privileged that I could learn the Bible. But after that I went to Canada, and I was able to come to the Bible school where there are many girls, and then to the seminary to learn how to serve God. And I met Pierre over there, and we together served first with the youth in our church, and then with kids, helping with Sunday schools and many other places. And God called us to go to Poland, back to Poland, to country where I was raised. So I know the language and the culture, and I could help my husband to learn. He, after 15 years, he's very good. He can speak Polish. He can. I don't have to help him, translate him, or he's doing well. So we are very pleased that we can serve God. That's what I always wanted to do. We can do, because he's good God, and he wants us to serve him wherever we are. For us, it's Poland.
So it's interesting that my Hannah came to Christ in a Christian home, Christian in the sense of a home where the gospel was preached, and yet she had to come to Christ herself as a child or young teenager, attending a camp with Child Evangelism Fellowship and preaching the gospel with Bible stories to the kids, and she had to become by herself a believer. It was not because of her family. But in any case, her grandma, she forgot to say something, that her grandma got a Bible in 1946 after the Second World War, going at the market to buy potatoes, and someone gave her a Bible. She had never seen one. And that was the beginning of it. She read it at home. She came to Christ reading Scripture, seeing the difference between Scripture and, you know, the religion of Poland, which is the Catholic Church, the Catholic faith. So, and then her husband read it. He was a carpenter, came to Christ through reading Scripture, and they started to receive people in their home to pray and to read Scripture. And it was the beginning of one of the biggest churches now in Warsaw. It was in Hannah's home 50 years ago. Isn't that amazing? The whole story is just amazing, but we wouldn't have enough time today. You would be sitting here until 5 o'clock, so you don't want to do that. In any case, for me, it's a very different background. I was born in Ottawa. My dad was a PhD chemist and involved in research, but then he got a job in Montreal, and then that moved us to Montreal. So I was not born in Montreal, but grew up in Montreal. French language, obviously, and our faith was Catholic faith, obviously. So I loved God. My father and mother wanted to love God, and we went faithfully to the church, and I was running for God. I wanted to go to church. I went to the best schools in Montreal, and the best ones were run by Catholic priests or different denominations of depending on what their focus was. So I was in the Collège of Montréal, this is where I learned the best math and the best Latin language and English and French and all the. And I was actually a very good student because this was important in our family to have good education. But as soon as I reached cégep or college and university, my sinful heart came out, and I had good friends that were helping me to do that. So I started to. I started to have quite of a sinful life, unfortunately, and I wouldn't like to give too much details here, but I was convinced that I was a sinner. I mean, nobody had to tell me that I was a sinful man, and yet I was going to the church. I wanted to practice the rituals and make sure I could please God somewhere, because I knew that I was so unpleasing to Him in the way I thought, the things I've seen, and the things I had said, and the lack of love for my mother, which I remember to this day. My mother passed away when I was 15. So that was a huge thing for me. How can you live for God and love Him? I didn't know. And I went to the best schools, and I was in touch with the church every week, if not more, and never heard the gospel in 22 years of my life since I was born in 1962. So in any case, that's why I chose, unfortunately, a sinful type of life, until I met my brother one day, came back home with a Bible. He had a Bible. Really? Only priests could have a Bible or read it or understand it. Nobody could read it, the scripture. And he put it on the kitchen counter as a sign that, hello, I became a believer. And he didn't know, he didn't speak too much at the beginning because it was something new. We thought, wow, is it a cult or something? And my father, who was a wonderful man, generous man, educated man, and he raised us, all of us, when my mother passed away, he became enraged at us. Really, that's the word. Because we started to read the Bible and we couldn't understand it. And it was against the faith of the family in Quebec. I mean, you cannot be something else. In any case, my brother was much, much, much persecuted. And sometimes I was in my bedroom listening to the yelling happening in the kitchen. And I thought, if someone would represent who Christ is and the gospel, I think it's my brother. Because he was never responding back. He took the blame. He was responsible for all the problems in the family because he was now in some kind of a cult reading the Bible. And strange, right? The reaction. I guess my father wanted to protect him at the beginning. But in any case, 2 years of that. Unbelievable what my brother went through in Montreal, in Canada. And if you read the story of the first missionaries going to Quebec in the 50s and 60s, I mean, it was even worse, right? The opposition to Protestant or evangelical believers just because they were preaching Christ and encouraging people to read the Bible. In any case, after 2 years, my brother said, what about coming to a movie night tonight, tomorrow night? And I said, oh, a movie at a church? That was something I'd never seen before. So I said, yeah, I'll go for that. And it was a Billy Graham movie shown at the church, it was actually a church plant meeting in a school, in a gym. And the movie was just so moving. It was preaching the gospel in French. Billy Graham was translated in French. And I heard the gospel that I was a sinner, and I knew that. But I was a sinner in need of repentance, turning away from my sins, and believing that Christ is enough as a sacrifice for my sin. It was enough. I didn't have to add good deeds, a good life, giving money to someone to try to please God and get my way into heaven, right? To win your salvation in a sense. And I understood that Christ had done it all. It was all finished. It's all accomplished, he said on the cross, right? It's all finished. He had perfectly died for all the sins and the punishment I deserved before God. No other way. So a text that changed my life, it's from the Gospel of Matthew, just to finish my testimony. I don't have my glasses here. I'm 56 now, so Rob, we're losing some sight, right? It's Matthew chapter 10 from verses 32 and 33. Oh, thank you, brother. Okay, let's see if it's going to be healing a blind person. Yes! I see. I was blind, but now I see. Miracles are happening in this church. I mean, Jesus said, this is the text I heard at this evening, movie night evening. I mean, I liked it that it just not presented a movie, but there was someone telling the gospel after, telling me how I can become a follower of Christ by repenting of my sins and believing in what he had done. Jesus says in Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, "Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And I thought, what an incredible verse. Never heard that before. The greatest promise, if you confess me, if you confess Christ before man, that you want to confess him as your Savior and Lord, Jesus says, I will also confess you. I will be with you. I will make you be with you to defend you before the Father. You are going to be with me and with my Father forever. But I thought this is followed by the greatest judgment, the worst thing you can happen in your life. But whoever denies me before man, if I reject Christ right now, I don't want to follow him. I don't want his teaching. I don't want to be identified with Jesus Christ. I mean, he will do the same thing with me when I will come before the Father in heaven. That just, I thought I need to make a decision. I cannot deny Christ because this is over with me. I'm such a sinful person that I have no chance to go into heaven. But if I do confess him, I will go into heaven. And look at what it says after, because I thought in my heart, oh my brother, he went through an awful time at home for the last 2 years. I said, I'm going to be the next one. But then look what it says after. Jesus knew. Jesus knew that the gospel brings changes that are a miracle in us, but brings changes that brings actually a sword into the family or into your relationships. And it says, verse 34, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth." Interesting statement from Jesus, right? He brings peace in someone who believes, peace with God. Peace with Christ, peace for eternity, peace living your life on earth because you belong to Christ, you know where you're going. "I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household." I thought, this is unbelievable. Jesus knew that. This is a major thing you face if you grew up in an environment against the gospel, or if you come to Christ in an environment where there's a position to the gospel, you will have this price to pay. I mean, you cannot go around it. "And he who loves my father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." I mean, that was it for me. It was, okay, I just gave my life to Christ May 18th, 1985, at this evening I prayed with someone. I said, I need to confess Christ tonight. I mean, it was amazing. But when I went through that, you know, I'm sure it's the experience of most of you. When you see the light of the gospel, I mean, you see what your heart is. And I remember walking in the streets of Montreal, crying out to God. I mean, crying and just looking over my life and say, I'm a sinner. I'm just awful what I did, what I thought, what I didn't do. And I walked in the streets of Montreal and asking God to forgive me and to forgive me. And it was just an incredible sad experience that I went through. But I wanted to repent, change. And I was crying out to God to change this life that was not pleasing Him. So this is what is missing in the faith that I grew up in. Like, you meet Christ and you repent of your sins. You make a decision to confess them, to ask God to forgive you, and to turn away from them. And this is what repentance, the word in Greek, means, right? To turn away from. In any case, this, by the grace of God, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I did that in 85. And then I kept having my Bible, and I kept going to church. We had a little Catholic church not far from our home. And I just kept going to the church with my Bible. I thought, I've met Christ. I'm a different person. And I started to read scripture. And then and what I'm going to say here, it's just my experience, right? I'm just going to not say more about it. But one day I went to the church, and I wanted to tell our priest. He was a friend of the family. His name was Monsieur Surprenant. Like the surprising man. That was his last name. In any case, I said, I'm going to tell him that I'm reading the Bible and what happened in my life. So I went to see him, and then he opened the door, and he kind of surprised me because that was his name. And I said, he said, sit down. He knew me because my father read often scripture at the church, and you know, we ring the bell before the communion and so on. So we did that for years. And he said, sit down. I said, you know, I just want to say, tell you something, that Christ is my Savior. And I just quoted a verse that I knew from memory. I said, Jesus, it's written that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I said, Jesus is the only way to God. And I said something I shouldn't have not said, because he became enraged at me. I couldn't believe it. I said, but this is what Jesus said. And then I will not tell you what the rest was done. But I said, wow, I said, this man, it looks like he doesn't know Christ. He was against scripture and against what Jesus said. And he told me so many things that you wouldn't believe. I said, it's impossible. He's 65 years old. He's the priest of our family, our friend. And he would speak to me this way. I couldn't believe it. I went back home. I thought, this is so sad. And I understood that maybe it's not Christ Church. I mean, that was just my thinking. I'm just sharing what I went through, right? And next Sunday, I said to my brother, who was going to a Baptist church in Longueuil, where you grew up, right? When you, he said, I said to my brother Martin, I said, Martin, I would like to go to your church today because you read the Bible there, right? He said, yeah, for sure. We read the Bible. Our pastor preaches the Bible. And so I said, I want to see that. And I did go to church, and I said, wow, they actually preach what Christ says in Scripture. And it was a new life to me. And I joined the youth group. I was younger then. And youth group and worked through on campus because I was studying at the engineering school in Montreal, École Polytechnique de Montréal. I became a chemical engineer a few years later. And then I worked in that field for a few years in Quebec City, where I was happy to be part of book tables and any kind of work. We could share the gospel with people on campus in Quebec City. And we had actually an excellent evangelist helping us from the Baptist Church in Quebec City. So in any case, this is how I became a believer. And doing that work in Quebec City, Quebec City had then a little Bible school set up by missionaries from the States and a few people from Ontario. And I started to attend that Bible school in the evening, and I just got at some point so moved by the fact that I can learn scripture, I can study the Bible, that one day I left my job in Quebec City as an engineer, and I went full-time to that little Bible school in Quebec City and studied for 4 years. And then when I did finish that, I thought, I was a single. So a pastor came to me and he said, you know, Pierre, you're free like a bird. So why don't you go to our seminary school in Vancouver, in Langley? And I said, why not? So I had $500 in my bank account, just enough to pay my flight, my WestJet flight from Montreal to Vancouver. And I just came by faith. I didn't know, I didn't have a clue of the cost of everything and the tuition fees and so on. But God was so gracious to me because I came to Vancouver. I found a family in Abbotsford who took me on, said, you just live in a basement. You help us with whatever you have as your finances and just go. Go to Acts and study. But I said, how am I going to pay all this? And this is God's provision again. We found jobs on campus. This is how I met Rob, washing all those dorms. And then I met Hannah, shelving books together in the library, and then cooking with her because she became a cook at Northwest. And then conferencing over the summer. So God provided for so many jobs that we could have money to actually study as we were taking classes. So that's God's provision. We came out of it with not a penny of debt. Isn't that amazing? This is God's provision. But we just left by faith. My wife did the same thing. We just left. We came. We wanted to study just to get equipped for ministry, for telling others about Jesus. I didn't know too much then about what was involved. And we did learn a lot, not only in the Bible school, I mean the Acts school, but being part of the BC churches. I was part of the church in Emmanuel Baptist for a little while at the beginning. And then we became members at Northwest Langley Baptist on 200 in Langley. This is our home church that has sent us out in 2005. And now I'm just going to tell you why Poland. And maybe you could show just a couple, one text down the road if you had your, just the next slide. Because I felt we were on a mission with God. And so my wife and I were finishing studying at Acts, and I said, oh, where should we go now? As a couple, we got married in 1999. Timothy and Rochelle were born in Langley. And in 2003, we did go to Poland to visit Hannah's family. And then we went there. I said, wow. I said to Hannah, I said, this is a mission field here. I mean, we met a few churches in Warsaw, Lublin, and Baptist churches, and they were telling us about what's happening in Poland. And I thought, wow, there's so few believers here, evangelical churches and so on, so few schools to train pastors. And so we came back in 2003. We actually wrote a document to the Fellowship International, our mission agency in the Fellowship of Churches, to say, why don't we have Poland as a mission field? Because Poland has less than 0.2% of evangelical believers. I will give you an example. We live in Langley. Langley is 350,000 people. That's the last time I've checked it out. So that's Langley. Langley has, I don't know how many churches, but probably close to 100 churches, probably, and many, many believers. Now, a city, we're going to have a soccer camp, an English camp in just 2 weeks in the city of Łódź, very close to Warsaw. That city has not much than 500 believers in 10 little churches in a city of 700,000 people. Now, that's 0.08% of evangelical believers. And this is what you see in Poland. Very few churches. This is actually one of the most needy cities for the gospel, for church planting, or anything in Poland. And in Europe, try to find this in France, in Spain, in Italy, very needy places too, but you would never find that low actually. Probably Czech Republic, quite a secular country, and some places in Germany, but anyway. So looking at the Great Commission, that we have to, the Great Commandment, to love God with all our hearts, as Jesus said, to love your neighbor as yourself, and this is what we should be doing as a, this is the essence of the law. And when you do that well in your life, where you are, you have a heart for other people. And Jesus said, we have a great commission to obey. We have to bring what God did in our lives. We have the responsibility. We are God's agent to go to other nations or neighbors or wherever you are and to tell others about this message of the gospel that changed you, forgave your sins, and gives you the assurance that if you die today, you actually go into God's presence. By God's grace, this is a God's work in your life. So we want to tell others because there's nothing more important in life, more than companies and more than politics and more than anything else, to know where your soul goes when your heart will stop beating. So this is what we felt. We need to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength as a choice, as something we do daily, as our brother said before, and a daily decision to make this commitment to God. And as you love God, you love, the expression of that will be to love your neighbor. You want to show God's love to somebody else, or it will just come naturally out of your heart because God is in you, God is alive in you, and God is, you're making choices of heart, mind, soul, and strength to actually choose God, God's will, God's kingdom, God's glory every day. That's a daily choice, right? Daily choice to spend time in Scripture. Daily choice to come to church. You had to come to church today to worship Him, to have fellowship with Him, to be in charge of many things to get ready for a church service, for example, or evangelism, anything, right? There's many ways you can commit your heart, soul, mind, and strength to love God and love your neighbor. And so that would be a key text. And then the second text about the Great Commission is Jesus said to go and make disciples. Now, I'm seeing that text differently today. Years ago, I would say, we have to go to all the nations, like the Gospel of Mark says that line, go to preach the gospel to all creation. But this text in Matthew has a different, maybe a twist today in after 14 years in Poland. I see that in this text, if you look into the original, the emphasis of Jesus was actually to make disciples, to actually work at making people choose, love, follow Christ in their lives, to have followers of Jesus. This is what is our emphasis. And this is what we should aim at in your own life. You start with yourself, right? As Jesus said, to deny yourself, to take the cross and follow me. And this is a necessity to be a disciple of Jesus. So when you do that, you want to help others to follow Christ in what their choices. You want to help people in the church to follow Christ in very practical ways. And you want to reach out to others, like Jesus said, the nations, right? Other nations that have not heard about Christ to see Christ and make that choice on a personal basis. So this is what motivated us, Hannah and I, actually, to say, okay, we could have stayed here, I could have become a pastor of a church, or, you know, there are many needs everywhere, right? But we'll go back to Quebec, mission field of North America with 0.8% of evangelical believers, or the native people, such a needy place for ministry and healing and so on. But we felt, okay, Poland is even a greater need. And God kind of equipped us to go to Poland. I mean, Hannah is Polish. She knows the language, the culture. She was raised in the church. She knew so many things about church culture in Poland with her mom and dad that are still alive today. And on my side, I knew the Catholic faith. I grew up in it. Actually, I God equipped me with many things that was good in the Catholic faith, but yet I had to. I hope I don't offend anyone by saying this, but by coming to Christ, seeing the gospel as it is in the Scripture, I had no choice to come out of it, because I was in a context where the gospel was not preached, and the gospel is the center of faith. You know, if we give up the gospel, brothers and sisters, we're cooked, and that's it with us. If we forget that Christ alone is the only way to heaven, that Christ alone paid for your sins, that what he did on the cross is sufficient, that the Scripture are sufficient to lead us to salvation, to equip us by the power of the Holy Spirit, to serve God, to know him, to serve others in the church and outside. I mean, if we don't believe that anymore, I mean, we're going to become a social club. And that's why many churches and denominations are dying today, because they don't hold on to this gospel that that we need to believe and believe and believe and preach and defend. And the book of Jude says that, right? We have it's a fight to defend the faith, to stay in the gospel, and to remind us that Christ is sufficient, and there are no other ways to be saved from your sin than Christ himself. No other way to have a relationship with God except through Christ and him alone. So important, right? I haven't heard an amen yet. Amen, amen. I mean, this is so basic. But today, we have to say that again. Don Carson, Dr. Don Carson, who grew up in Montreal, right? His father was a church planter in Quebec, in Drummondville, for a wonderful book, by the way, the story of his father. I can't remember the name of it, but it's a wonderful story. Don Carson, at some point, he came 3 times to Poland, and he said, at some point, I was getting older, and I thought, how am I going to spend the last X years of my life that is in front of me, 10 years or whatever the number was? And he thought, I need to preach the gospel again to the church. I need to defend the gospel again in churches and wherever the gospel is under threat in the world. That's what he told us. And that's what he does. He actually came to Poland just recently and preached on the sovereignty of God and the will of man. A big issue in Poland because of Arminianism coming from the Russian churches and missionaries that have... So most... that's another issue that I don't want to say about today. But anyway, so I mean, is equipping us to have tools to think, to see, do we actually hold on to the gospel again? Do we still preach Christ as a Savior and the only one who can bring us to heaven? In many ways, it was such a help. And just to finish, I've got maybe 5 minutes, right? I'll just finish with just a few pictures of what we've been doing in Poland for the last 14 years. Maybe that will inspire you in your mission, because you have a mission. We're all in a mission. We're just in different locations, different neighborhoods, different cultures and different languages, especially in Vancouver, very different than Poland. So if your brother Peter, brother Peter's is in the back. So that's what Jesus said, the Great Commission, to obey him. And Acts 1:8, this is the focus of the church, to reach out to be witnesses of Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, until the ends of the earth. So that's a progression. And it's a simultaneous. Each church should have a mission locally and a mission globally. And that's what you do. I mean, you have so many missionaries on your prayer support and so on. You're doing a great job in many ways. So this is Poland today. Unreached country. All the white dots, they are districts or counties. And a white spot means no gospel. No church, no Bible study, no, nothing. A missionary did that statistic work, a huge work years ago, 8 years ago. And all the big cities are red because they have more churches, more believers. But outside the big cities, it's just empty. Including Łódź, like in the middle of Poland, 0.08 of 1% of evangelical believers. I mean, if you want to focus somewhere where there's a need, I mean, what about Poland? What about very unreached Muslim countries as well, but that's one of them. Anyway, so I will show you just if you keep going, the way we preach the gospel, neighbors, hospitality, a very high value in Polish culture. To be hospitable, our home needs to be open all the time for people to come and have tea, coffee. We have to feed them. Sometimes they come at lunchtime. My wife is an example of that, and she's learned in her family hospitality. And it's quite a big ministry, quite a big challenge when you are homeschooling Timothy and Rochelle and taking care of many things in the home. So when our neighbor Kajit comes and he wants eggs, and actually he doesn't knock, he just comes in. Said, Pierre, I need eggs. I'm making those pancakes. And yeah, for sure. But yeah, here, maybe a bit of flour, by the way. And but then he's kind. He comes back and he has a few pancakes for us after. So he comes. So this is relationship with neighbors. Music school. Our kids are, praise God, very gifted in music. And they go to music school, and it's a way to get in touch with parents of other kids. And we witness, we show, we are different. And people asking, who are you? You know, sometimes, and we say, we believe the Bible. We just say that very simply, right? We believe Christ, we believe the Bible, and we know Christ personally. It's a relationship with him and not a religion. So anyway, one of the daughters, kids of a one mother at the music school will actually send her daughter to our English camp in 2 weeks. And this is amazing. She's trusting us with her own daughter. This is a huge thing, trust. And we want her to understand the gospel, to have a good time with us, obviously, as a camp, but to hear about Christ. So another thing, seniors ministry, Hannah's good at that. She's helping in many ways to get in touch with elderly people, to care, to teach, and to provide what they need. Street evangelism, we did that a lot because Canadians are coming to help us every summer. When you have gifts in music, we ask them to play music in a park or somewhere on a city square. And then Poles, they like to sit down and listen to good classical music. And then I go to them and give them the Gospel of John, and we start a discussion with them. So that's a way to bring the gospel in a gentle way in new places where there are few believers. So we did that in many cities, Lubartów and so on. And after that, we did orphanages. We've been in some orphanages when we are invited to come and help with a kids' ministry. A big one was Camp Kunuf. It's a big camp close to the Ukraine. A camp was about to be closed down by the government, and we helped them to build back a new chapel, cabins, and so on. So the camp is today fully equipped and serving churches. And that's a new chapel. That was quite a work that we could do. And many people came from Canada, including students from the Bible School Heritage in Ontario. They came to help and work and clean and build. And we led with them the first youth conference in that camp called in Kunuf. And so that's the speaker we had. Chris Middleton was at the fellowship then, and he came to speak. Churches come for their Bible vacation. Churches, they like to spend vacation together. That was something new. Sometimes the whole church goes to one spot, one camp location, and they have a 1 week of vacation together. I mean, that was new to me as a Canadian. You know, you want to spend your vacation by yourself. And you know, over there, it's such an incredible thing to be fellowshipping. That's what I grew up in Quebec, you know. But anyway, so incredible time of fellowship. We get to know people and we have ministry. Baptism, we still baptize in lakes and rivers. Like Mark today was telling me his story that he got baptized in, White Rock, right? We do that all the time in Poland. And some churches have a baptism time, but some do not. And then soccer camps, we call them Marie Mondiale. We did a lot of soccer camps. Soccer is a big thing among kids. So it was a way to get kids in the church. And then we ran this kind of fun camp and always with the gospel in it, with songs and talking to kids about how they could know Christ. So we did that usually in local churches. Training leadership, youth in every location we could go. And then this is what we would like to see. We're aiming at seeing disciples of Jesus among the children, the youth, the people we work with. This is the goal of every ministry we do in the church. You know, I'm even in a merge, right? And when you come together and people have similar places of service and qualities, I mean, a good way to approach that is to have a servant heart, and you want the other person to serve, be equipped, and become a better disciple, a better servant of Christ. I like that. As a missionaries in Poland, we want to get out of a job, in a sense. We want to be others better than we are. And especially, they can be better. They will be better because they know the culture, the language, the history of their country much better than we can all do. But this is the attitude we should have everywhere, to actually help others to be what they could be with Christ and just forget about our own ambitions and plans and our skills and we think we can do things better. Actually, probably not. It's much better to serve others in that way. So that's what we do in camps that we run. Once in a years ago, we were young and stronger, and you remember that, Rob, right? But not anymore. We got a bit older now, and that's a recent picture. But just to tell you that a few things just to pray about, I'm going to finish with this. I'm a bit over time. Just the next one. Just pray for, we are in Poland, the Taylors, another couple, a family, they are in Wrocław in the south. We work with the Fenskys, Daniel and Jessica. They've been with us for a year to help us with camp ministry and youth. So they've been very helpful. And the next one would be just to pray. Discipleship we do in the church, very important focus as we disciple men in the church. The next one would be about discipling women in the church. And camp ministry. I'll just finish with this. Camp ministry, we have four camps coming up soon in Poland. English camp in Łódź. We have a kids camp, 80 kids, in Zamość. That's the south of southeast of Poland. And then we're going to have a church camp, family camp. Three quarters of the church are going to meet somewhere in Augustów. That's close to Russia. And we're going to have a family camp where we're going to help each other and get to know each other. And then the last one, an evangelistic camp in by the sea with a church. 110 people have come, many unbelievers. And we use camps to run a kids program, a youth program, and to preach the gospel to those who have come as visitors. So this is all. Thank you so much for listening to us. Thank you so much for supporting what we do in Poland in prayer and with your financial support. May God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen.